want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is Standing Out in Excellence at Your Work. We pray this is a blessing to your life.
Whatever it is, whatever your work is, whatever God has called you to do, whether you work for somebody, whether you work for yourselves, it doesn't matter. But standing out in excellence at your work. I believe that the church should be characterized by worship. How many of you would agree with that? We should be characterized by worship. And worship, really, there's kind of three things. It's a balance of three things. Those three things are war, word, and work. They go right along with spirit, soul, and body. Let's go back to number one there. War means prayer, petition, and proclamation of what God has said, taking back what the devil has stolen as we're led by the Spirit. That's the kind of war that we do, the warring that we do. And so the second one, the word, in this context, we know that we hear the word in our spirit. You know, we get a rhema or we get a revelation. That's where that word comes alive in our spirit. But that word also, it renews our minds. So we worship by Bible-centered preaching, not just by the guy behind the pulpit, but Bible-centered preaching and teaching to bring us to repentance and to help others come to repentance. Because what does repentance mean? It means changing the way we think to think like God thinks, right? And so the Word does that for us. That's all part of worship, in feasting on the Word and also giving that Word out. In fact, you know, I always say anything that we hear in this place, it ought to not just go into the ears of the people here and never be repeated or said again. Something should, at least something in that message, should be repeated to somebody else, maybe multiple people. And so it renews our minds and it causes us to line up not only our minds, but our will with God. And that causes us to be emotionally healthy. Now, how many of you know emotional health is pretty important? If you've ever been in a situation where you were not healthy emotionally, you know it's important. I mean, people all across the United States, the most prosperous country in the world, but so many people are not emotionally healthy. So many people are on, you know, I call them happy pills. I mean, all across this nation, people that seems like everything they want on a material level, but yet they're absolutely miserable. And the only way they can get any kind of peace is to go to the doctor and get a pill. And I'm telling you, this is the truth. It's a large part of our population. So then number three is the work having to do with the body, making a difference in practical, physical ways. So all of those things are worship. Worship is not just as we come in here and sing songs. And I'm, you know, the praise and worship team did an excellent job tonight. That it was so wonderful. And I love being in the presence of the Lord with people and worshiping Him in song. But this is just a very small part of our worship. Would you agree? Worship is war, word, and work. And tonight, we're going to talk about that third area of worship as it applies to our everyday lives. That's the area of work. Now, I know my wife's going to love this message because she loves this word work. She loves it. She wears me out just watching her out in that garden and messing with all that stuff and doing all that stuff. She loves work. So tonight, that's what we're going to talk about, but with the understanding that work is a whole lot different thing when we understand it as worship and we offer it to the Lord as worship. Okay. So the word work originated in the Hebrew language. It is the Hebrew word malakal, which is equivalent to the word ministry. It is impossible to do ministry without work. Ministry is work. The word in the Greek means to serve, to be one who works, who serves. And so work is a very spiritual thing in God's mind. Now, in the American mindset, for the most part, we live in it with a mindset where people, they spend all their time working just trying to get to a place where they don't have to work anymore. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Can't wait to retire, can't wait, and do nothing. God never called us to do nothing. I've said often, you know, I had somebody ask me, I had a pastor ask me one day, he said, so at what age do you think you're going to retire? I said, I will never retire. Doesn't mean I'll be doing this necessarily. God could move me out of this. I don't know, but I will never retire from ministry because it is my life and it should be the life of all of us, right? So I will never retire, you know, and so the American mindset, we have to be careful that we don't latch on to things that are not necessarily biblical. So we don't work all our lives just so we can do nothing. No, we work to make a difference in this world for the kingdom of God with every ounce of strength that we have and the breath that we breathe until the very last one. How many of you would agree? That's what it's really supposed to be like. So now God may change the type of work you do over life, you know, throughout your life, but there's still work to do. So if you want to be in ministry, then you better understand the meaning of work. I remember also Brother Van Giel, he's passed away now, but he was one of our professors at International Bible College that Pastor Cindy and I went to. And he used to get up at the chalkboard and he would always say, how do you spell miracle? And he would spell it out in big letters, W-O-R-K, because it takes somebody working for miracles to happen. So that doesn't mean we earn miracles. It just means that miracles happen as people obey God and do what he says to do. You have to understand the meaning of work. The word work is used to speak about God's work in Genesis chapter 2:2. It says, by the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. But then what did God do? Then he gave work to mankind. After God finished from his work, he put us to work. The work was not a bad thing. What did he do? Immediately, he told them to tend the garden. So let's make this practical tonight. How are Christians supposed to act and react with our work in the workplace? You know, various ones. The Lord has people in this room and people in this church all in various places. Even those who are maybe retired from the job that they used to work in, understand God still has work for you. And so how should the Christian act in the workplace? Does God really care? Does he care at all about what kind of workman I am? Or maybe we'll say workwoman, but a work person, okay, that I am. Is what I do at work really that important to Jesus? And understand, this message is directed toward people who have employers over them in large part. But if you are self-employed or, you know, stay-at-home mom or even disabled or whatever, the principles that we're talking about tonight will work for you. They'll bless you if you plug them into your situation, whatever that situation is. So God designed us to stand out in excellence at our work. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that everything God did, he did in excellence? I mean, just look around you. Look at nature. I mean, look at the sky. Everything he did in excellence. How many of you believe that everything Jesus did when he was on this earth, he did in excellence? He absolutely did. And so God designed us to stand out in excellence at our work as well, because we are the body of Christ. Now, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. It says, in the same way, let your light shine. Everybody say shine.
Shine.
Before men. But let's just kind of break this down a little bit. Shine, what does that mean? Radiate brilliancy. Before, that means ahead of. Let it shine before men to set an example to show how it's done. as a Christian, we should be showing the world how it's done, letting our light shine. We show them the way, right? That they may see your good deeds. The King James Version says works. It's the Greek word ergon. It means toil, as in effort or occupation, and praise your Father in heaven. So here's the point. Is it possible that even on our jobs that God has us doing, wherever that may be, that as we're working, God is using that to shine a light for somebody in the darkness, to show them how a person should live who knows God and set the example and in what? In work, so that your Father in heaven will be praised. I can tell you this, in this world, if you're not doing that, they're not going to praise your Father. They'll probably curse him. So as a child of God, wherever you work, you should strive to be the best, hardest working, honest, and honoring worker in that place. You know, it took me a while to figure that out, but once I figured that out, man, I figured out the key to promotion. Now, what'll happen is sometimes you'll actually get a peer pressure out on a job. At least I did. There's a peer pressure out there that if you're one who's going to give extra or go over and above, they have a name that they call you. Well, we'll just say it. It's not ugly, but they call you a brown noser. It means something ugly, but, you know, or they'll say other things about you, okay? But you should strive to be the best, hardest working, honest, and honoring worker there that honors that employer there on that job. You should be competing with the others about, I'm going to be the most honest and the most honoring. And that's usually not real hard to become, especially in the modern day. So here's the thing. God will honor you when you work that way. Once I really caught a hold of that, man, I'm telling you, when I was working in the secular workplace, everywhere I went, I got promoted. Everywhere I went, I would usually make more money than people had been there years in advance of me. And they would always say, don't you tell them what you're making. You're going to start a riot in this place, right? And I didn't bother telling them what I made. I just made it, right? And I thank God for the promotion. And here's the thing, like I had a man tell me one day when I said, why are you doing this for me? Why are you trying to help me this way? He said, because there are people who know more than you, but they don't have any character. And if you have character, I can teach you whatever you need to know. He said, but I don't want to work with somebody with no character. Okay. So that's really what we're talking about. We should have the character of Christ no matter where we are, what we're doing. How many of you agree with that? So again, God will honor you when you work that way, even if no one else seems to notice. God will honor you. And it opens up an avenue for God to prosper you. Because look, can I tell you something? I believe in tithe and offering. I do. And a lot of people really make a big focus on that and so on. But I'm going to say this. I don't know too many preachers who would say this. But you can tithe all you want to. You can tithe and you can even give other offerings financially that are a sacrifice to you. But if you're not an excellent employee or worker, you are cutting off your own path to prosperity. Just let that soak in just for a moment. Because tithing is not something we do to try to pay God off to get his blessings. Tithing is a form of worship, but it's only one part of the worship. The biggest part of worship we do is out there, not in here, by the way we live our lives. So an excellent worker is always, always willing to do not only the minimum requirements, but they will be willing to do more than what's required. Because this is the way Jesus lived his life. In fact, he taught us the principle. It's one of his commands. Go what? The extra mile. What's he talking about? You do more than what's required. You know, that whole thing about the extra mile was based on the fact that, you know, the soldiers, the Roman soldiers would legally, they could pick anybody out and say, hey, you, I need you to carry all my heavy armor and stuff. I need you to carry my bags and my stuff for a mile. And they could legally force any Jewish person to do that for a mile. And the Jewish people hated it. They resented it. They did not want to do that. And Jesus comes along and he says, don't only carry it, but when you get to the end of the mile, offer to carry it for another mile. And here's why. Here's the principle. And there's not a whole lot of people who want to live by this, but I would much rather be the person who is owed than the person who owes. I'm going to say that one more time. I would much rather be the person who is owed than the person who owes. See, legally, that Jewish person owed that to that Roman soldier because of the protection that they provided and so on and so forth. But that was it. Once you paid your due and you walked that 1 mile, now you walk an extra mile. Now guess what? They owe you. You don't owe them. I'm telling you, that's a principle that'll change your life. And it'll bring prosperity to your life. So never be that one who says, like I've heard people, I used to hear this all the time on the job. They do the bare minimum. And if somebody'd say something, they'd say, well, you know, I'll do that when they pay me more. I'll do that when my pay reflects it. And can I tell you something? For a person with that kind of attitude, promotion will never come. It'll never come to them. I've seen it over and over and over again. You know what? Again, I'm using myself as an example. And listen, I don't love to work and do things that are uncomfortable for me. So I'm not trying to play the hypocrite. But I do know the principle of when I'm working for somebody, they deserve what they're paying me to do. And if I want promotion, I'm going to give them extra. Not for manipulation, but because I want to set an example for them. So, for instance, when I was working construction and I got into operating heavy equipment, you know, anybody that knows anything about that, typically those equipment operators, man, they sit in that piece of equipment and that's what they do. They sit in that crane, they sit in that track hoe, whatever it is. That's what they do. But here's the deal. I used to get in trouble. My boss would chew me out. He'd say, Daigle, if I catch you off of that crane or off of that tractor or off that track hoe one more time up there helping them people in that pipe rack, I'm going to wear you out. But you know what? Anytime they needed somebody on the job, I was always one of the first ones picked. I was always. We might get down to a skeleton crew of two or three, but I was going to be there. Okay? So here's my point. My point is this, that promotion, God wants us to all have promotion, but promotion will never come to us if we don't have an extra mile attitude. And I know this isn't a jump, shout, hallelujah kind of message, but this is a message that'll bring prosperity to your life if we heed this. All right, so five reasons. Let me give you five reasons why Christians should stand out in excellence at their work. Number one, you should stand out in excellence at your work because you are God's representative on this earth. You are God's representative on this earth, and we have to remember that, especially if we're working for somebody else. We have to remember that. It doesn't matter what they say, how they act, so on and so forth. We are God's representative on this earth. So in this situation, you know, it's kind of become cliche, but what would Jesus do if he were in your situation right now? We really would do ourselves a favor if we really did ask ourselves that question. Well, that's old, Pastor Dwayne. You know, they used to say that a long time ago. Yeah, it's old, but it's still true. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 through 23, it says slaves. So what we'll do, with the understanding that slaves, typically when the scripture was talking about them in the New Testament, was talking about indentured servants. It was talking about people who were really employees because they were working off a debt they owed. Okay. And so it says slaves, we'll say employees, submit yourselves to your masters or your employers or your bosses. With all respect, everybody say all respect, not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Can I tell you, I'm pretty sure this is probably not going to be one of people's favorite sermons that I've ever preached right here. I'm pretty sure this won't be one of their favorites because this is God calling us to do some things that don't come natural, but we're called to live how? Supernatural, right? So even to those who are harsh, if there's any one person I would not want to work for, it's somebody who is harsh to me. And that would be my excuse. I might put up with a bunch of their stuff, but you ain't going to talk harsh to me. Well, God gives us that choice if we want to. But one of the greatest blessings I ever had was when I honored and respected and loved a man who cussed me up one side and down the other. And then I couldn't beat him away with a stick after that. because I didn't react the way he thought I would react. And the man loved me. And he did a lot of wonderful things for me, helped me and promoted me and those kind of things. And I'm talking about out in the workforce. For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. Now, remember, we're talking about we want to stand out in excellence at our work because we are God's representatives on the earth. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, it is commendable before God. Notice what it says, before God, more importantly. How many of you know what we endure and what we go through and what our attitude is? It's much more important what we know God sees than it is what people see, right? Verse 21, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Well, you mean that means out in the workforce too? That we should actually act like him and allow suffering in our life and still behave ourselves when that suffering comes? That even affects us outside of the church? Absolutely. So to this, notice what he says, to this you were called. You were called to this because Christ suffered for you and he left you the example to know how to handle things. And notice what it said. What example did he set? He committed no sin and no deceit was found in his mouth. He didn't go around backbiting and telling everybody how terrible the person was and how mistreated you have been. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Can you believe we're talking about how you act at work tonight? This is what we're talking about. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. That's good. I'm going to say it because ain't nobody else in this room saying it, but that's good. I mean, we have to realize that we represent. See, this doesn't just mean, remember, we're talking about we're representatives of God. This doesn't just mean a human who sends you with a message to go tell somebody and you're too lazy to go do what they said. No, we're talking about in the context that we're a representative of God here. And as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. How many of you know we've been sent? It was called the Great Commission. Jesus sent us, right? Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. What does that mean? Look what it says. To try earnestly to shut up. How many of you know that's one of the hardest things in the world to do? Except in church when the preaching's like this, then it gets real quiet sometimes. But notice what it said. To lead a quiet life, to mind your own business. It means repeatedly and habitually your own business. Don't worry about what someone else is doing or how they are doing it. You know, you will be the most miserable person on your job if you always worried about what everybody else is doing. Well, why are they getting away with it? Well, if they're going to act that way, I'm going to act that way. Well, you go ahead. Promotion will never come to you. Notice what it says. And to work. This is the word epo. It means to speak or to say. Isn't that interesting? To work, epo, speak or say with your hands. Just as we told you. In other words, this is what he's saying. Shut your mouth and let your work do the talking for you. I've been around people who, boy, they talk a big game. They talk about how much they know and how much they do and all that kind of stuff, but you never see them doing it. So why? Verse 12a, it says, so that your daily life, everybody say daily life, not just on Sundays and Wednesdays, your daily life may win the respect of outsiders. That's outside the faith. That's non-Christians. Why? So the point is, remember, we are a representative of God. Sinners do what sinners do. They sin and they do it really good. And you may be working amongst a bunch of heathens. Don't get caught up in the mindset that they carry for sure. Don't follow their example for sure. All right, number two. Y'all sure y'all can handle another one of these? Okay. Number two, you should stand out in excellence at your work because you like to eat. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 12b, it says, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Now, I did a little word study on this phrase. in the original Greek to try to bring a little bit of clarity to it. So let me share what the original Greek says here. Now, the scripture is, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. Here's what it means in the Greek. In other words, you will not be unemployed, unengaged, unoccupied, unused, unprofitable, on hold, on layoff, on the bench, on the dole, on the shelf, out of action, out of commission, out of service, out of work, out of a job, without gainful employment, between jobs, loafing, workless, idle, not busy, jobless, mothballed, laid off, closed down, disengaged, inactive, fired, released, bounced, canned, discharged, removed, sacked, terminated, eliminated, dispensed with, gotten rid of, given the pink slip, given the boot, kicked out, kicked to the curb, thrown out, taken to the gate, dismissed from service, broke, busted, and disgusted, bankrupt, beggared, destitute, needy, indigent, penniless, impoverished, flat broke, cleaned out, in chapter 11, without contents, without money, strapped for cash, tapped out, in the po house, in the bread line, and living on government cheese. I got all that out the Greek dictionary. We want to be one who is excellent at our work because we like to eat something other than government cheese. So I hope that brings a little clarity to you about what that means. But you should stand out in excellence at your work so that you will not be dependent on anybody. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10 through 12, it says, "For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule. If a man will not work, he shall not eat." And he goes on to say, "We hear that some of you or some among you are idle, that they are not busy. They are busy bodies." In other words, they're meddlers. They work their mouth. "Such people we command," and notice what he said. This is strong language. "We command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down." What does that mean? Heisukia means be quiet, hush, hold your tongue, desist from speaking, shut up. And do what? And earn the bread they eat. So the scripture has a whole lot to say about this subject. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, it says, "Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own." We say this all the time. "You're not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body." Now, we honor God with our body, not only refraining from, you know, sexual immorality and that kind of stuff, but think about it in this context. We honor God with our body by working and setting an example, by shining the light before men. And we use everything he gave us to do that, including this body he gave us, to do whatever kind of work it is he has us do it. So let's go on to the next scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2, 11 and 12. "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children." You know, the problem with that is that when you're an adult, ain't nobody gonna talk to me like no kid. Am I right? We get that attitude. Yet the Apostle Paul says, "For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives," that means be occupied in a way that is worthy of God, "who calls you into his kingdom and glory on the earth." Talking about, remember, usually when people read scriptures about glory, they're always thinking about heaven. No. We understand the whole earth is filled with his glory, and that's where God wants us to be hanging out. It's on the earth, right? And so we live lives worthy of God who called us into his kingdom and glory on the earth. All right, let me get to the next one. Number three, you should stand out in excellence at your work because you are called by God to work skillfully and wholeheartedly. It's what the scripture ask of us. Notice what it says in Proverbs chapter 6, verse 6 through 11. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. In other words, there will be no prosperity. There will be no promotion, but poverty will come on you. So this is talking about our attitude toward it. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20 through 21. This is what Hezekiah did throughout Judah, doing what was good and right and faithful before the Lord his God. Now notice what it says, doing what was right and faithful before the Lord his God. In everything that he undertook in the service of God's temple and in obedience to the law and the commands, he sought his God and worked. Everybody say worked wholeheartedly. In other words, he gave it his all. And so he prospered. He did what? He gave it his all. He worked wholeheartedly and gave it his all. And the beginning of that scripture says that it was good in the sight of God. It was right and faithful for him to do what he did. All right, Proverbs 22, 29. Do you see a man skilled in his work? He will serve before kings. He will not serve before obscure men. Listen, your employer hired you to do a job, not to stand around preaching while you're on the clock. That's for super spiritual folks who want to preach instead of work. If you're going to preach, make sure you're doing it while you work. If you're not giving your employer your best effort while at work, hear me, you are breaking his commandment not to steal. You are stealing from your employer, and you are destroying your witness. I read something, I don't remember the statistic, but I read something a while back about just the amount, if they were to add up the amount of hours that are stolen from employers in America every day. I mean, it was like this phenomenal number of hours. And that doesn't even include the actual stuff that people steal physically. Billions and billions and billions of dollars. All right, so let's go on to number four. I got to hurry up and get through this because I can hardly stomach it myself. Number four, you should stand out in excellence at your work because God directs blessings through your work. There's a lot of people asking God to bless them. Well, he wants to bless you through your work. But if you're cutting him off by not being this person that is excellent at your work, and it doesn't mean that you know everything. It just means that you are striving for excellence, truly striving for excellence at what you do. If whatever it is you do, you want to do it the best you can. I remember hearing this story years ago. I shared this a long time ago, but I remember hearing this story years ago about a young man who he didn't have a whole lot of skills. He had been in trouble and with the law and everything for quite a while, but he just wanted to serve. Man, he wanted to do something, and they were having this big conference at this church. It was a pretty large church, and they were having this big conference, and it was a pretty large bathrooms in there. And so one of the men came out of there and he told this story. He said, the thing that inspired me more than anything else in this whole conference was, and he named that man. He said he wasn't the most intelligent person. You could tell he had some challenges, but somebody gave him a job. And he said, when you walk in that bathroom, that man standing there, and he had his little squirt bottle with his cleaner, and he had his cleaning supplies, and he said, no sooner did you come out of a stall, he was in there cleaning that toilet or cleaning that urinal. I mean, it was just, and he was a smile on his face and singing to the Lord the whole time. And this went on through the whole conference. That man stood in his place, and he did it with excellence. And the man telling the story said, that inspired me more than anything any of these preachers said the whole time. He said, it broke me and it humbled me. And he said, Lord, if I could be like anybody in this place, I want to be like him. Well, you should stand out in excellence at your work because God directs blessings through your work. We're supposed to be a blessing to our employers. Listen, we have to get beyond this idea that I'm doing this for a paycheck. I've said this, I don't know how many times, probably 100 in all the 23 years we've been pastoring, but your job is never about the money. It's always about the mission. Always. We're supposed to be a blessing to our employers. One of the things I learned to do, especially when I was working construction and things would start getting slow, I'd let them know, hey, listen, I'm praying. I'm praying for more work. I want you to know I'm praying. I believe God wants to bless this place. Because if you have no work, I have no work. So I pray for God's blessings. It got to the place where when things would slow down, they would come and ask me, hey, can you pray some more? Can you pray for more work? I never forget one time everybody was pretty desperate because we were like at our last job and these guys were always cussing and swearing and talking nasty and all that. And the supervisor came in front of all of them and said, Dwayne, would you pray? Said, we desperately need work. Would you pray? And I said, no, I won't pray. And they were shocked because I never said that. And I said, no, I'm not going to pray. I said, because you want me to pray for God to bless you and then you're going to turn around and curse his name. And I will not pray for you if you're going to act that way and spit in God's face like that. You could have heard a pin drop. And I said, so would anybody agree to behave yourself and act like, God is watching? And oh, yeah. I prayed. That lasted for about a week. It went back to normal. But for about a week, every time they'd go to cuss, they'd once we got more work, it went back to normal, right? So anyway, my point is, my employers knew I was praying for them to be blessed. Now, as a Christian, you should be for your employer. You should be for them. Everybody say, I should be for them. You should be a go-getter, not a chain and fetter. You should be a profit netter, not a deadheader. You should be an example for the better, not a negativity spreader. You should be a pace setter, not a whiny bedwetter. Remember that God placed you there to be a living letter for them to read so that they could hear what God is saying through your life. And they're not going to hear what you're saying out of your mouth if they don't hear what you're saying with your hands. All right, Genesis 39 tells us the story of Joseph. And it says that Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant, talking about Potiphar. It says, Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of the household and of all that he owned, and the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. So here's the point. He blessed his employer, who wasn't a godly man at all, because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. So he left in Joseph's care everything he had with Joseph in charge. He did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Genesis 39, 20 through 23 says, but while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was done there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. You know why Potiphar didn't have to pay any attention to it? Because he knew he was going to do the right thing. You know why the warden didn't have to pay any attention to it? Because he knew he had the character. He was going to do the right thing even when he wasn't looking. Later, what happens? He's put in charge of all of Egypt, the largest, most powerful country in the world in that day. All right, Genesis 39, 40 through 41, it says, you shall be in charge of my palace, and all my people are to submit to your orders. Only with respect to the throne will I be greater than you. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Man, that is incredible. Again, we're talking about this is the path to prosperity. And it's a very practical way that it happens. He was a blessing to his employers. He wasn't trying to take, he was trying to give. And as a result, he received much. I'm telling you, we have to break that wrong mindset, or we cannot walk in the blessings of God. Christians should always be an asset and not a liability to their employers.
I had a man one time early on. This is where I started really kind of getting this. I was working at the funnel cake factory at Contraband Day. And, you know, I thought I was doing good, you know. And afterwards, I said, well, how'd I do? I did. He said, to be honest with you, he said, you weren't too slow and you weren't too fast, just kind of half. And then he added another part. I mean, you know, I was a little bit offended. I couldn't believe that man said that to me. It hurt my feelings. But what I did, instead of quitting, is I said, you know what? I'm going to give him my absolute best. If he don't think I'm giving the best, then I'm going to show him what my best is. I became the best funnel cake man around. And I'm not bragging. I'm saying that the truth is he loved me. And every year when he would come around, I was his first call. Can you come help me? Can you come help me? I need you. That first time he was thinking about whether or not he was going to keep me at all. All right. So Proverbs 13:4, the sluggard craves and gets nothing, but the desires of the diligent are fully satisfied. Everybody say fully satisfied. That's the Hebrew word dalshein. It means made rich, anointed, promoted. All right. Number 5. This is the last one. Hopefully this won't be too painful. You should stand out in excellence at your work because you are ultimately working for God and not man. We must never forget who we're really working for. And we must never forget who that paycheck's really coming from. And God can direct that person we work for. He can direct their heart to bless us. But there are requirements on our part. And, you know, people used to ask me all the time, I've shared this before, but when I was working out there in the plants and all, people would ask me all the time because they knew I was a pastor, and they would say, you know, when are you going to go full time? And I would always tell them, I am full time. I'm full time. I'm a full time Christian. I'm full time. We ought to be a full time Christian all the time, looking for the mission, not just making it about the money. Now, Ephesians 6:5-8, it says, slaves, again, we'll say employees, obey your earthly masters, employers, bosses, with respect and fear and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. But wait a minute. They don't act like Christ. And you're telling me to obey them? Well, I will tell you, as long as they're not telling you to do something illegal, yes. As long as they're not telling you to do something immoral that goes against the standards of God, yes, you obey them. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but like slaves of Christ doing the will of God from your heart. If this is not in your heart, it ain't going to work. Serve wholeheartedly. Everybody say wholeheartedly. Wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Because you are. Because you know that the Lord will reward everyone for whatever good he does, whether he is slave or free. See, what's happening here is the apostle is just bringing us back to understanding who our true source is. And he wants us to honor him before men by the way we act toward those men or women, whoever it is. Colossians 3:17 and then 22-24, it says, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then in verse 22, again, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, talking about employees, employers, and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. If there's no reverence for the Lord in our heart, it's going to reflect in the way we treat our employers. And Paul, he is saying basically the same thing here in another book. And the Lord made sure it got recorded twice in the Bible. Apparently, we needed to hear it, right? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. That word straight is yashar. It means pleasant and prosperous. In other words, don't get into your head when things aren't going right and start analyzing all the reasons why you don't have to behave yourself. Trust in the Lord, not your own understanding. 1 Corinthians 10:31 through 33. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. The Apostle Paul is trying to get us back, trying to get the Corinthians here back to understanding why we're here in the first place, like we talked about Sunday. So Christians have such an awesome opportunity available to them on their jobs. You know, many times we don't always see it as an opportunity. I remember there was one job in particular I had. I told Pastor Cindy, I said, this is the only job I've ever had that I absolutely hate to get up and go to work. I hate it. I hated being there. Why? Because things weren't going my way. It was not easy. It was hard. It was the hardest I ever had. And the people that were over me were tyrants. Yet because I would catch myself and still go in there and act right and show respect and honor, even when that job ended. And the company I was working for, by the way, got kicked out of the plant. After that, God promoted me to an even better job. Okay, so Christians have such an awesome opportunity available on their jobs. Jesus wants to go to work with you. Tell your neighbor, Jesus wants to go to work with you. He wants to be involved in your work. He wants to prosper the work of your hands. He wants to bring glory to his name through you at work. So the question is, do you really want to be a light in your workplace? Do we really want that? Matthew 5:16, last scripture. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Father, I thank you that these are people who you have marked. Lord, you've marked them with your glory. And I pray, Father, whatever it is you have them doing, whether they're working for themselves. And Lord, we know that if you're working for yourselves, you're working for the customers. Lord, whatever it is you have them doing, I pray, Father God, that they would excel at it. Lord, if they're working for another employer, may they excel with those people, Father. Not just looking for something for nothing, but Lord, may they give extra effort and go the extra mile the way you told us to, trusting that you will bring the promotion in time. Father, help us to not have attitudes that are worldly, that will cut off the prosperity that you want to give us. I pray, Father, I pray that you would help us to walk in a way that causes us to be blessed for your name's sake. Lord, our biggest concern are those that are out there who don't know you and they're looking at us. Forgive us for the times that we've fallen. Forgive us for the times that we have failed. But Lord, we don't want to just ask for forgiveness. But Lord, we're asking you to truly change our heart, truly change our way of thinking, Father. Bring us to repentance. And Lord, I thank you that every person in here has the opportunity to excel in the workplace and make an eternal difference in somebody's life, Father. And Lord, when it gets hard, boss is seemingly on your back for no reason, or when the customers are mistreating. Lord, I pray for supernatural grace to let that light shine in. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for it. Thank you for this word rooted in our hearts, Father.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana, 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.